It's time.
It's time.
It's time. It's time.
It's time.
Time.
It's time.
Time to think about the things that you otherwise wouldn't say. Lucky for us, these two will say anything.
Come on!
It's time for The Fawcast with Chris Williams and Mark Charter. The Fawcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Why pay 7% to list your home? Choose the flexible 5 or 6% plan for you at charterhouseiowa.com. Hear more from Mark following this episode.
Listen very carefully.
Shall we do this then?
No, just take it one time.
An audio experience unlike any other starts now.
What's up? Welcome to this week's podcast. We're back here at Charterhouse, and we're back with the special guest host and longtime friend of the program is with us today, Mark.
Longtime friend. He brought me cow cud today.
He brought you milk and me Bush Light. So, God bless you, Lawrence.
I'm looking at, yeah, so Lawrence is here, our good friend Lawrence Cunningham. I'm looking back in our Charterhouse fridge there, and it's you know it's real milk when it's in a glass bottle. This is a glass bottle straight from the farm.
Did you squeeze the teats?
I was out on the farm early this morning. Yep,
squeezing
sunrise.
The teat.
Yep, squeezing it out right into the glass jar for Charter.
Lawrence tells us back from his fraternity days at Iowa State, by the way, that he had a lot of
easy
practice squeezing teats on the front lawn of his fraternity.
Greek week, man. It was a competition.
And we're talking cow teats here. Don't get excited, people. This was a real thing, though. You've done it before.
Uh-huh. I have. I grew up in South Dakota. It's not a big stretch.
You know what you need to do? I think every year, I don't know if they still do this, but they used to have a celebrity, which you'd qualify for, a celebrity cow milking contest at the State Fair.
Oh, nice.
And they get a big crowd in there, and you know, your people from KCCI and all that.
I'm sure Tommy Burch has already signed up for that.
Tommy Burch.
Tommy Burch will sign up for anything.
I know he will.
I mean, hey.
Hey, he is a celebrity.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Tommy's just like, he's game for anything at any time.
Anytime.
You text
totally
Tommy. I mean, you FaceTime Tommy at 3 a.m., which I've done. He's up.
He's up. He's ready to chat.
Hanging out with somebody.
Has tacos.
Yeah. He's doing something.
I'm just happy that Tommy and my brother made up. They used to be Twitter
yeah,
enemies.
They did.
And now that I think they're cool with
they
each
sure
other.
They sure did. I'm glad that I'm here today, though, because the last time Lawrence was on, I was out of town.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I was out covering something.
We did. You would have been horrible at it wasn't even a game, but we talked about theme songs, TV show theme songs.
Right. TV theme
I'm
songs.
Pretty sure Gray must have been.
I'm a lot better at TV shows than I am movies, though.
We will talk a little bit about movies today, but I did want to update people because Lawrence joined our exclusive club of being daddies to daughters.
Yeah, congrats,
yeah,
man.
Thanks.
I haven't seen
so
you since.
That's awesome. Update us on the newest member of the fam.
Yeah, we have a new little girl, Emerson. Yeah. Emerson May.
It's a pretty name. I like that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Are you calling her something else?
You know, we kind of refer to her as Emmy, actually.
Yeah.
Emerson is a little bit drawn out. So
yeah. How old is she?
She's about 6 weeks now.
Sleeping?
She's sleeping okay.
Okay.
You know, some nights are better than others.
Who's she look like?
Yeah, you know, our kids
your
are.
Wife.
Yeah.
I mean, you're
right.
you're a dark skinned fella.
I think
if
she's
being honest.
Blonde hair, blue eyes.
Your wife has more milky skin.
Yes, milky white.
So I'm wondering if she's like if she came out a little tan or you know
now
white, like me.
Now we have to tweet a picture of Lawrence.
We do.
And I've got my summer sun on right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
Hey, real quick, I just thought of this. Does Lawrence have to take a shot of Malort?
We should make him.
Oh, God.
We should make him, if he never has.
I heard that last week. Was that last week, 2 weeks ago?
A couple weeks ago. We didn't do one last week. Well, we kind of did.
We didn't have a show last week.
No, but we did a video from a doc.
Yeah, we were drinking in it. Nicknames, though. Your daughter, Cameron. You call her Cammy.
Yeah.
Is there something else though to it or not?
Cammy Nay.
My
color.
My
that
point
a lot
is sometimes
her middle name's Renee.
Sometimes nicknames come from odd places. It's like, why is that the nickname? Like my daughter, we call her Rue a lot. This is Hollis. Hollis has nothing to do with Rue, but I started singing to her and I started calling her Holla Rue in a song, and then Holla Rue got shortened to Rue, and now it's Ruru or Rue sometimes, mm-hmm. and you know, and that's just what it is. But it's interesting sometimes. I had a friend, you know, Steve Loney. Well, you did a podcast.
I do know
with
Steve Loney well.
Steve Loney's son,
good
Matt.
Man.
This was funny because back when, this is how you don't acquire a nickname. All right, I ran track with Matt at Ames High when Steve Loney was on the staff, and at that time, Steve had a nickname amongst the team. They called him Big Dog. Big Dog. I don't know if that's still the nickname today, but it was Big Dog. So Matt informed us that we were referred to him as Little Pup. That was going to be his nickname. And it did not catch on. You cannot give yourself...
It's the last thing you want to do.
You cannot give yourself a nickname. So I don't know. I have nicknames for Lawrence. Most of them are inappropriate. You know, well, hey, it's among our text group. But do you guys have any nicknames? Has anyone ever called you anything?
They called me the Junkyard Dog there for a while.
Lawrence among our group is...
There's silence. Crickets.
There's supposed to be some reaction to that.
Nobody believed
people.
You have a chain around your neck.
I have been called the exact same nickname since I hit adolescence. C-Dub. That's what everybody calls me.
C-Dub
or CW. That's all people call
me. So here's another
thing. Willie. I guess Willie for a while.
Willie?
Yeah.
I can imagine.
Another interesting thing is
that didn't stick. Is too stupid.
You're one of three things in life. You're either a first name guy, a last name guy, or a nickname guy.
Yeah.
Okay. So Lawrence, I call Lawrence or LC. Mm-hmm. A lot of people in our group say LC. Mm-hmm. Nobody calls you Cunningham.
No. Nope.
Right.
Too long.
But most people call me Charter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
People call him Williams. I don't hear people addressing him as Chris a lot.
Yeah, I think it's a generational deal.
So it's interesting how I never went to anybody and said, call me Charter. They just start doing it.
Yeah.
Or they hear another guy do it, and you do it from there. What do you get the most? And do you hate when people call you Larry? Because I know that I know that happens too.
Yeah, so people know me. You know how people know me, because if they call me Larry, they knew me prior to 1998.
Okay.
Right when I got to college, there were three Larrys on our dorm floor.
Yeah.
And so I was Lawrence, because that's what the RA had put on my door or whatever. But all my high school buddies, all the people I grew up with, all call me Larry.
Okay.
So not too many of those people around anymore that are calling me that. But, you know, Law or LC, that's usually what I get.
Yeah.
You know?
Were you ticked when LC became a popular nickname from the from Laguna Beach?
Oh, it was a great show.
Remember that one? Did you ever watch that one?
I mean, she was such such a sophisticated young
lady. Right?
Yeah. LC, though.
Yeah.
Called her that.
And because she would feud with Jay Cutler's wife.
Yes. Kristen Cavallari.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were both very attractive.
But didn't they feud? In the Laguna Beach program,
because they were both
Cavallari was just such a B, and LC was just like, hey, you know, I'm not into the drama,
but she totally was. She played.
Well, but she acted like at the beginning, like she was claiming innocence,
And for a while there, LC, she started popping up everywhere.
Yeah,
I mean, she literally
with magazines,
right,
talk shows,
all sorts of.
So that's the real LC, but you're.
Yeah. Hey, I was your first,
you're
man.
You're a close second, brother.
close second.
You're definitely older than her.
I want to, just before we get going, though, if people didn't listen to the first one, talk about what Lawrence does.
Yeah.
I swear to God.
Times? Is this your third? That's your third, isn't it? You've been on
second,
three.
I think. I can't remember. Maybe three.
Nah, your first wasn't the movie quotes, I don't think. Or the
I think this is
songs.
His second.
I think my second.
I think it's his second.
Babs was on.
No, because it's your third, because we talked about emojis and stuff. That would have been farther back.
Yeah,
so I think
so. This is the first time. So you just must have been my replacement in the past.
I think so.
So Lawrence, what's your actual title? You're in charge of the Iowa State Daily.
Yep.
Like, do you have like an actual like
General manager.
General manager.
Yep.
Swear to God, man. Like, I have people come up to me all the time and tell me how they want my job. Like, if I could have another job in the world, it would be yours. Because when I
talk him out of it, man.
No, but the business side of it, I won't want to put up with, and the because I hate that aspect of Cyclone Fanatic, and I hate doing that part of it. But like, when I was deciding what I wanted to do, there were three things. It was be in media, be in journalism, be a teacher, or be a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And the teaching journalism thing is just something even to this day, like my favorite thing to do is when we have an intern
mm-hmm.
and like watching them get better. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
aspect of it, and you have a really cool job and a great group, and you guys do really good work.
Thank you.
Being an alumni, I mean, it's fun to sit back and watch it. It's great.
College Newspaper of the Year.
Yeah, yes.
Ding, ding, ding.
Last year's College Newspaper of the Year. It's so interesting because we have such a commitment from the kids who work for us. I mean, these kids are working 30, 40, 50, 60 hours a week, doing really, really good stuff, and they're going to school, and they're working other jobs, right? So these kids are there because they want to be there, and so that makes my job really easy. My job really is just to clear the path to let them do what they want to do and help provide them the opportunity to do that. And for us, it's just an experiential learning opportunity. How do we make them the most desirable candidates when they graduate?
Yeah, right? Well, and that's I wanted to talk to you about that too, because it's such a weird field now.
Mm-hmm.
Like it. And I have a lot of kids who will ask me about the business and, like, should I be scared to get into this business and all that. But I do think – I'm not just saying this as a shill for media, which I am, by the way. But you can look at it as like, oh, these guys are getting axed all over the country.
Right.
And that's very true, especially in sports. But I could also make a point that, like, one, media is not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's just changing. And two, like, you guys are actually in a really good spot because you can be on the ground floor of a lot of this technology and a lot of the way things are changing. And you're not going to be the guy at 50 who's stuck because he doesn't have these skills.
Right.
So I think it's also really exciting.
And at the end of the day, what we're trying to teach our kids and what we talk about every day is how do we do things new, better, and different than they've been done before, right?
Mm-hmm.
We teach innovation. We teach entrepreneurship within the business and media space. And I think that's the value that we're providing. So when our kids come out, they understand, hey, there's a problem to solve. Let's solve it. Let's not run away from it.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
That's what we're focused on.
You guys are training a lot of would-be future journalists. And at the same time, you've got the written word that's dying. In a way. I mean, Fox Sports comes out. Who writes for Fox Sports that was on Twitter yesterday?
Ken Rosenthal.
Ken Rosenthal.
Bruce
is like,
Feldman,
I can't write here because we don't do that anymore. We just do videos. So that's changing.
I do think that – I don't want to interrupt you. I think that that's a bit of a fad. I don't think that we'll ever just go away from the written word.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe it's because I'm a writer by heart. I have a really hard time believing that in 20 years, like, websites are just going to be – video. Like, I can't see that, but maybe it's because I'm getting old.
There's no question that it's incredibly popular now, and who knows what will replace that eventually. But I do have a legitimate question. I want you to defend an entire generation of people with this question.
Geez.
Oh, man.
And you're a good person to ask this to, because I think about it a lot. I experience it somewhat in my daily life just through anecdotes and meeting real people, etc. But and we're talking about millennials. We're talking about the people that are young. They're in high school. They're in college. These are people that you're working with on a daily basis. So you should know the answer to this one. The premise of this generation is entitled, lazy, expect greatness immediately, don't want to work their way up, want the CEO job before they become the janitor, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that theory wrong? What are you seeing? Give me some hope that this generation that's coming up isn't really like that, and they are working hard.
Yeah. You know, I guess in my experience, again, I referenced earlier, our kids are super committed, so maybe I'm biased on this, but from a generational perspective, and I don't like to look at millennials and look at these generations, but when I talk about students today versus probably students when I was there, right? The difference is that I sort of trusted leadership and said, okay, if I do this and I work really hard, I'm going to get to where I need to go, right?
Yeah.
What we have to do as leaders now with these students is we have to help them understand, here's the path to get to where you want to go, right? As long as you communicate that out, they're willing to put the legwork in to be successful, right? So I liken this to if I was told to make a batch of cookies, right? I'd look at the directions, I'd make the batch of cookies, right? The easiest thing to do with this group of students now is to say, hey, start with the end product in mind. Here, taste this cookie, right?
Yeah.
This is what we're going to make today, right? Now, in order to make that, this is how the ingredients come together. But in order to get the ingredients to come together, we got to go to the store and go buy those ingredients, right? So we have to talk a little bit about the process more so than what we've had to historically. And as long as we do that, I think these kids are rising to the occasion. I don't like that viewpoint that they're lazy and then they're not going to be successful. You know, there's the other side of the corner. Everybody says this will be the next great generation, right? Because they're pushing the parameters. No is not acceptable to them. They value their time. They value experiences in ways that probably our generation didn't.
Yeah, and,
right?
And I would also add to it, and I see this a lot where I'll get an email from some random journalism student who's going into their, like, senior year, mm-hmm. and they're like, oh, I want to do an internship with you. Mm-hmm. And then they'll send me their resume, and they've literally just been going to journalism classes for the last 3 years. They have zero experience at all.
Right.
And I would make the argument that the guys and girls that Lawrence is working with are the very motivated ones, mm-hmm. because they're there. Like, it's cool to see your name in the paper. Right. But other than that, I mean, they're not making a ton of money.
Right.
They're there because they're passionate about journalism, mm-hmm. and media. And so I think that the kids he's getting at the Iowa State Daily are the ones who are pushing that, mm-hmm. more so than the ones who are just kind of sitting back and waiting to get a degree and think that things are going to happen.
They're not the shipless drifters.
Yeah. I mean, you probably have a wider chasm between the people that are working to better themselves and become super desirable in the workplace, and yeah. those who aren't, right? You see in the Greenlee School of Journalism, for instance, you know, they have a 400 credit internship program, right? Mm-hmm. They're forcing their kids, in order to get their degree, go out there and get this experience, right? Yeah. So I think education is having to help force that effort a little bit, but I got to tell you, across the board, in my opinion, these students are going to be highly successful. They've been highly successful. They're working hard. I don't have any concerns from a generational perspective.
Yeah. And I think every generation has concerns about the next generation.
Why are you the crotchety old man, Mark?
I've noticed I've become that recently.
Why are you so old?
You know, I get so frustrated, and we're talking daily life. And again, this isn't someone that wants to have a career in journalism. This is just people with regular jobs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But where you go somewhere and you see a young person and they've got no energy, no, you know, especially if they're at a fast food job. Okay, they chose to work there. Nobody made them go work at Burger King. I get that they're not in the job that maybe they ultimately want. But I'm a believer in do the best you can in the job you are in. Mm-hmm. Hopefully someone takes notice of that, moves you up the ladder. But when you deal with these people that, you know, you can go through an interaction, drive through somewhere, go through an interaction and have no dialogue with the person. They don't say thank you. They don't say, how's your day going? Nothing. I mean, they just hand you the food, take your credit card. Nothing. And that it's so dispiriting.
We don't have to anymore, though, because we text instead of calling. We email instead of walking across the office.
This is humorous, too, by the way. We had someone in our office. I won't say the name. And I'm not even.
Is it Katie?
No, this isn't even a bad story. But we have someone here that has a younger daughter. She's still in high school. And this just made me kind of laugh. And part of me agreed with it. But so we're not talking about college age people. This person can't even drive yet, but they went and did they decided they needed some money. Great, good for you, right? You want some money, you want to go fill that need. So they decided they wanted to go to Tassel, which is one of the worst jobs ever. I did that job. It stinks. It's kind of an Iowa rite of passage, mm-hmm. for a lot of people. They got through one day, decided that the tasseling wasn't their future, like a lot of people probably do. They probably have 50% of people that quit after day one. So, and then we were throwing out some ideas to this person. Well, why don't you do this and do that and stuff? And we brought up the idea of going to Fairway. You know, Fairway is an easy job. They hire younger people, you know, walk people out to their car, do groceries, whatever. And the response was, she doesn't want to work anywhere that requires a uniform. And I'm kind of thinking to myself, you probably don't want money that badly then, mm-hmm. if you're not willing to do that. And another anecdote, a good friend of ours on our text group has always told me, because I've said, hey, we should go do something. He's like, there's no babysitters available in Ankeny. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, no, there's no babysitters anymore because all the parents in Ankeny give their kids money so they don't need to work anymore and they get to drive nice cars and all this stuff. So you hear these anecdotes around you and you think, man, there's a lot of lazy out there.
I feel like you're overgeneralizing it.
I probably am. Yeah. I probably am for the point of telling a story.
But don't you think it's the whole premise of you want to do more for your kids than your parents were able to do for you? Don't you think
I think that's absolutely
true. We do. I feel that already. But if you don't instill work ethic in your kid, mm-hmm. you're setting them up for a lot of disappointment in the future. Mm-hmm. A lot of not getting a job or whatever.
I mean, the days of having like pensions and crap like that it's a little bit different than our parents.
I think
you mentioned too, and I see this a lot in journalism, and it's sad, is a lot of these 23, 24-year-olds, it's like, why are they tired? Well, because they're working two jobs, you know? Mm-hmm. I see it all the time.
Yeah.
And it's not, they have to.
Yeah.
And they're working at, I mean, my producer Trey, we talk about it on the air a lot. Like, he gets up and he works his first job and he's got to be there at like 4 or 5 in the morning. Mm-hmm. He gets off at, I think, like 1. Mm-hmm. goes and sleeps for a couple hours, yeah, and then comes into KXNO and produces my show. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, I'd be tired too, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
You guys have inspired me. I'm going to give someone a plug here.
Okay. Let's do it.
So I met a guy yesterday, and I appreciate hard work. I appreciate hustle, all of that stuff. More than most people would know. I do appreciate those things. A guy came in the other day to the office, yesterday, in fact. His name's Gage. Gage Knoyer. I'm looking at his card. Gage took over, I think, a company his father started. It's called, I think this is what it's called, You Say It, We Spray It.
That's a good slogan.
They do ultimate power washing. Okay, so they power wash houses, gutters, decks, garages, driveways, sidewalks, deck staining, etc. This guy came in. I don't know how old he is, but a former military. Said he was a MP, military police, over at Camp Dodge type of thing. Came in, pitched a business owner, knowing that we sell a lot of houses, have a need. Looked me in the eye. You know, he's not like 19. I mean, the guy's probably in his 20s. I'm not sure. But very impressive. I went and looked on their homeadvisor.com, which has reviews, very good reviews for these guys.
I need my fence sprayed.
He would do that.
Okay.
And I even asked him. I said, and I like this thinking. I said, man, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it. Will you give me the authority to go find you a client and offer them 50% off so I can try you out before I kind of farm you out to all my other clients? Is absolutely. I like that. That's the drug dealer mentality. Mm-hmm. It really is, and I dig that, man. You can't expect everybody right away to pay full price. You got to get them hooked on something.
Yeah, no,
so
I get
give
it.
Them a taste.
We
get
have
them
to do
hooked.
That with advertising all
and
the time.
And then you go from there, right? That's what a smart drug dealer mm-hmm. does. Here's your first little bit of cocaine. Have fun, buddy, right? I'm coming back next time, and I'm going to pay
I just watched the Biggie movie. That's what his deal was.
Yeah, so my one critique of Gage is he does not have a web address on his card. But if anyone's listening and does need power spraying in Central Iowa, send me something on Twitter. I'll definitely get you the information
from
this guy.
A lot of small businesses just have Facebook pages now.
Yeah. Maybe he does.
Because when you Google it, like, Facebook will pop right up.
Yeah, maybe he does. But the thing that's cool about this guy, and I've never been this way, and I admit this, but this guy went essentially on a cold call. Came in, didn't email me, didn't call me.
That's a bad feeling to do.
Came in, had to get past Katie at the front desk, which is really tough to do.
Katie's nasty.
She's
a nasty woman.
What's funny is people don't know this if they've never been in their office, but all you have to really do is shuffle your feet 3 feet to the right, and you'll see me back here. There's a little wall up there. But, you know, she's like, well, he's back there. And it's funny because people come in, and I can hear them at the front desk, but she has to come around the corner like I'm in some private office. I'm just behind this wall. But she's the filter. You got to get past her first before that. So, anyway, if you need some something cleaned at your house, let me know.
Good on Gage for cold calling, man. I used to set appointments through cold calls, and I learned this actually with Learfield back in the day. I would put 10 pennies on the right side of my desk, and throughout the day, I had to make 10 calls. So I would slide one penny at a time every time I made a phone call, and at the end of the day, I had to make sure all the pennies from the right were at the left, or I couldn't go home until I made those calls, right? It was just a mental thing for me, but
What was the success rate?
You know, for me, cold calls are fine. I don't have any problem making cold calls. I'm a sales guy, though. I like to get in front of a lot to talk,
I hate
talk to
sales.
People.
That's the aspect of this business.
Yeah, but sales
I
for you
despise.
Have to be easy now because you have to be known. If they don't, like, what, you know, what's Fanatic and who are you? It's
normally,
like, well, I have a radio show.
I mean,
and
normally
you know.
I'm calling on people who know who I am, so that helps.
Yeah.
But I'm really good in a sales meeting, and Lawrence, maybe you can give me a tip on this. I was at a sales meeting with a pretty big potential client the other day. And I'm great for 80% of it because I can sell Cyclone Fanatic. I believe in our product. Yeah. I know it works. I've seen it for almost 10 years. I can't ask people for money.
That's the big part of sales.
I can't fire the kill shot.
Sure,
That's the part for me that, like, I don't know.
Here's what I always did, especially early on in my sales career. I said, okay, I've listened to you for the last 45 minutes. I'd listen to you talk about what you want and what you need from us. If I can solve these three things that you asked for, what's it worth to you?
Yeah.
Right? Get the conversation around money started.
Solving a pain. That's
good.
What's it worth to you if I can deliver on these things that you said you need us to do? Right? Is it worth $5? Is it $5,000? Is it $50,000?
And that's what's so hard when you're on the other end because you're like, you know, I know what I think this value is, but mm-hmm. I mean, I pitched our to a guy the other day, couple weeks ago. He was an older guy and he'd never listened to a podcast. That's a really hard thing to sell like to a 65 year old who's never listened to one.
Asking for the sale, I think there's a mental hurdle, and when you clear that mental hurdle, it becomes easy. And I think Lawrence has cleared it, I've cleared it, and it's that mental hurdle is by me asking you for money or to commit to something, I know on my side of the table that I'm either providing an extreme amount of value or I'm going to make you money.
Yeah.
Then you have no problem asking them for that because you're freeing them up to do it at that point.
I think I lack reps too. I mean, I just haven't done it enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've always had a salesperson and right now we don't. So I'm kind of, my summer has just been, my summer has been just absorbed in
the
sales.
The larger question is, why do we fear no? Right. I mean, that's ultimately what it's about.
You're
they're
exactly
going to say
right.
no. Well, who cares?
Right.
You know?
Well, one of my favorite things to do, especially early when I learned this tactic, is I take them to the ugly pond, right?
Yeah.
Greg Bennett, sales rep, who did a lot of training that I was able to go to, he always says, take them to the ugly pond. So if you feel like you're not getting anywhere, you're stalling out, say, hey, you know what, Chris? I appreciate your time, but I don't think this is the right fit for us.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's the right fit for you. I don't think it's the right fit for us. And then all of a sudden they're like, no, I didn't say I wasn't interested.
Yeah.
Right. I'm interested. So let them bring it back. Right. Just say, I don't think it's a good fit. Let's go our merry ways.
You just reminded me too, by you saying that right there. I just read a book a couple weeks ago. Mark, you'd probably like this too.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really good book for your students that I'd recommend to any. It's it's something, the Kardashian way of thinking. I think it has Kardashian in it. I'll text it to you later.
Cool.
It is a book about the need in today, since we're talking about like today's generation, about how anymore, and Mark, I know you've had this hurdle as well.
Yeah.
You have to self-promote.
Yeah.
And that's really difficult for some human beings. And I tie that in with sales. It's really hard for me to ask for money. Back in the day, it was really hard for me to be like, man, you know what? I think this was a really kick-ass podcast I did with Steve Prohm, and I want you guys to listen to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now I don't have as much of a problem saying that, but there's a way to like tactfully do that.
Right.
And there's also a way to tactfully get into that money conversation where it's not weird for everybody. I'll send you the name of that because it's a phenomenal book, and it's a New York Times bestseller.
Two things on that. If you wait for someone else to sing your own praises, you might be waiting a long time. And there's a lot of noise in the world and you got to cut through. So to promote something or promote yourself is fine to do if you have a message that you think will actually benefit people. Again, I don't say, oh, man, I got to put myself out there on Facebook again, because I believe that we offer better rates to people, that we sell homes faster.
Yeah.
So the way I look at it is I'm helping people by doing this. Now, you're going to have some that don't view it that way, but I do. And the thing Lawrence was saying about the ugly pond, if that was your phrase for that, is by doing that, you create a little bit of demand, right? Mm-hmm. People want what other people want. If no one else wants it, no one else wants it, that type of thing. As soon as you took it away from them, they're going to go, well, wait a minute. Now I'm not good enough to get it, but I want it now because you're telling me it's not a good thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
So by saying that, by taking it away from them a little bit, that can make them want it a little bit more because it's become more exclusive.
Right.
You're not just selling this to anybody. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, you're not quite seeing the vision. You're not a great fit. Well, maybe I am. Maybe I need to look at this a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So I totally get where you're coming from on that.
It's called the Kim Kardashian principle.
Have
That's
a huge
Why
butt.
Shameless Sells. That's what it's called. It's really good.
Awesome.
It's the title sounds a lot worse than it actually is.
Well, celebrity helps her too.
I mean, promise.
Everybody wants to be a celebrity. That definitely helps.
I feel like that was a really somewhat intellectual business conversation.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that today. Yeah.
Neither was I.
That a deep dive?
I thought we were going to come in and like talk about farts and.
Hey, whenever you want to transition to sports movies,
cows.
We can. But what else was? I did want to ask you guys, and I did ask you your favorite sports movies. We have a couple clips to play here in a little bit. But have you guys been following? Because you mentioned this, and it goes to promotion. Conor McGregor.
Yes,
Mayweather. Have you guys been watching
so
the press conference?
I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah, I love it.
I don't miss a clip.
What are your hot takes so far? I'm not even talking about the fight, what's going to happen, but what we're seeing right now.
I think it's phenomenal. These guys
are so good.
It's this like mixture of WWE and like real, and I don't really know where we're at in it.
Uh-huh.
All I know is I'm enjoying it because I could totally see these two guys faking all of this just to sell the fight. However, there's a hint of like, man, these guys really don't like each other as well. And then like, you know, McGregor just walks right up to that line.
Oh yeah.
And he'll dip his toe over it and then he comes back.
Well, McGregor's
the best part.
Like,
the best part yesterday, though, is McGregor's out there starting the F Mayweather chant, and Mayweather's just like sipping coffee.
I think
in the
they're
background.
In Toronto.
It was phenomenal.
You know, these guys though are smart dudes when it comes to the business side of this thing. I mean, this is a business proposition for them, because Connor's out there saying things like, what are you going to do? And he's calling him a little bitch and all this stuff.
He was calling the Showtime exec a weasel.
He's doing everything. He's doing everything he should do to get Mayweather to come up and punch him in the face.
Right.
Neither of these guys are going to touch the other one, dude, because they got a monster payday coming up, and they're not going to screw with that. But it's no, and then Floyd Mayweather's father's getting involved.
Oh, man. He's yelling stuff at a press conference. When Mayweather points him out, he says, or when Conor McGregor points him out, he says, he's in a leisure suit, right? It was so good. I mean, just.
He keeps talking about how small his head is.
Ultimate showman, man.
It's phenomenal.
It's so great. It's must-see TV. But remember, we're that generation that grew up on, like, vintage WWF,
yeah.
Right? I mean, Macho Man, Coco Brutus
Beware.
The Barber Beefcake, you know, Ravishing Rick Rude,
Honky Tonk Man.
Oh, yeah, right? I love that sort of
stuff,
too. Man.
I
can't get enough of it.
Wrestling lost me when it went from the WWF to kind of the WCW.
Well, they're both, like, existing.
I mean, I'm what, 6 years older than you?
See, that's when I got into it, is when the NWO formed.
Oh, yeah.
Hollywood Hogan.
Yep, Lawrence yeah. is Lawrence
Monday Night Nitro.
Oh, man, that was where it was at.
Lawrence yep. is closer to my age, so he remembers probably the Saturday morning wrestling cartoon.
Yeah, absolutely. Junkyard Dog was, like, a major player in that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Those are the days, and that's when it was Saturday morning wrestling on. Yeah, it was great. I remember the most classic wrestling match of all time. Now, obviously, this has been replaced with newer, cooler wrestling, was Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
In one of the WrestleManias.
Yep.
Right? And Hulk Hogan lifts Andre the Giant
WrestleMania
kind of
3.
Up over his head yeah. a little bit for a body slam.
Yeah.
It was a really pathetic looking one.
Passing of the torch, man.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Nick has shown up.
What's up, Nick?
Hey, Nick. How are you, buddy? Good to see you.
See,
welcome to the podcast.
I was with the WWE a little bit longer than that, even where they started to do the, you know, Japan versus the U.S., and they did, I think it was Hulk Hogan still, and like Yokozuna, the big Japanese guy, and I think they had it on an aircraft carrier, and he slammed Yokozuna on an aircraft carrier.
Let me ask you guys this. This was a long time ago, and it's one of those things I feel like I'm misremembering a little bit. But do you remember they had a couple huge guys? One's like the Show that's still around.
The Big Show.
Right? But before that, they had a guy called Hurricane or Typhoon or something.
It was Typhoon,
like that.
Steamboat or Tugboat.
But there was a guy.
The Big Boss Man.
I was watching wrestling one time.
They're like all dead, too. Every guy you just named off. It's sad. Right.
Basically, they just, there was something in the ring, and then someone said to pick anyone out of the crowd, and they picked him out of the crowd. And that's how he became a wrestler.
Yeah.
That had to have been rigged.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
But I think it was like Tugboat or Typhoon. I think it was one of those guys. Because he was another
something like that.
It was another huge dude, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was.
That's an old classic wrestling deal.
Pick him right out of the crowd.
I'll pick anybody out of this crowd, and then the guy in the crowd beats him.
Well,
and then they become this superstar.
It's the whole white man can't jump.
Do you guys remember like Lex Luger and Sting?
God, how roided that was.
Oh,
Lex Luger.
Oh man, that was awesome. Like, he was like the original, right?
Yeah,
In WCW, I think was. It might have been like NWA before that or something. They came. I grew up
in
Mitchell,
NWA.
South Dakota, right?
Yeah,
and so my parents, we were wrestlers growing up, little kid wrestlers, or whatever. And one of my parents' friends had front row tickets to go see a wrestling match. I don't think my mom knew really what it was. She's like, "Oh, they're gonna go watch wrestling. That's great. They're into wrestling." I mean, we strapped up
our
wrestling shoes. Remember how you used to wear wrestling shoes like around school
Absolutely.
And stuff?
No.
So we did that. We get there. It's a main event between like. Ric Flair and somebody and like a beautiful Bobby something or other.
Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Yeah, but it, like the
was this in the Corn Palace?
It was in the Sioux Falls Arena, like where the Skyforce play and stuff like that, right? And then it was against Sting and Lex Luger, and it was like the most amazing
phenomenal.
Thing. And I'll never forget. I had this shirt that I knew was kind of naughty, but I didn't really know it was like a garage sale shirt or something. And it said "Put it where the sun don't shine."
Ooh.
And my mom said I couldn't wear it, right?
You're
so
like, wow,
I must have been. Like 8. So that's what I yelled the whole time we were there. I was like, "Ric Flair, put it where the sun don't shine." I thought I was so
bad. I mean, no idea what you're talking about.
Was Flair a good guy or a bad guy at that time?
He was a bad guy at that point.
Okay.
Yeah.
But remember, dirtiest player in the game, man.
For sure.
Did you own any Big Johnson shirts?
Yeah.
Big Johnson shirts were huge when I was like
Big Johnson,
7th grade, 8th grade.
Remember the No Fear like stickers? Those are big.
No Fear. Co-ed Naked.
Co-ed Naked, yes.
We used to have an Iowa State Daily, Co-ed Naked Iowa State Daily shirt when I was like a junior or senior there. It said, we do it daily.
That's phenomenal.
It was so good.
Did Spoon approve that?
Yeah. We might need to bring that out of retirement. Co-ed Naked Iowa State
when
Daily.
When did he you had Spoon, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
He was there when I was there too.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to Talk some movies or no? Yeah, we have other hot topics.
I'm curious about what
Williams
thinks for his top five.
I asked you guys.
Great top five.
I asked you guys to pick your top five sports movies, and I got a couple clips lined up to play. You know, clips that people would hopefully know if they've seen these movies, and if not, then they should definitely try to see them.
So many good sports movies.
I need to get the mic booted up then.
Yeah. Okay. We'll try to play this first clip here. So here's Lawrence's first pick, and I agree with him. This is a fantastic sports movie. I don't know if Williams has seen this one. I'm going to play it and see if you
He's a little young.
I'm going to see if you recognize this clip.
When were you born?
84.
Okay.
All right. I'm 33.
Here we go. Clip number one.
I drive truck, brake irons, and arm wrestle. It's what I love to do. It's what I do best.
Hold on. There's a little bit more here.
Is everything. There is no second place. Second sucks.
All right. Can you name that
is
movie?
Is that Fight Club?
It is not.
No.
It is not.
No, I don't know it then.
Sylvester Stallone.
That was Stallone?
Not in that clip. That was Bull Hurley.
Oh, okay.
In that clip. That was a great movie from 1987 called Over the Top.
No, I haven't ever seen that.
It's an arm wrestling movie starring Sylvester Stallone. It's fantastic.
Littered with former wrestlers. You'll love it.
It is fantastic. Hawk is a truck driver. He goes to Vegas for an arm wrestling competition, and they got all sorts of characters that he's arm wrestling. The main bad guy is Bull Hurley, this big guy that's just
Bull,
massive.
Mustache,
Hurley.
Bald head. They're all truck drivers. And so the purse is you win a brand new truck.
Big rig.
Big rig.
Yeah.
That's a phenomenal plot.
It's fantastic. It's right up your alley.
You can't make that up.
I think there's a lot of Bush Light in that movie.
That seems like a very Southwest Iowa movie.
Yeah.
No, you would love that movie.
I can't believe that I haven't seen that.
Over
it's
the top.
So good.
Okay.
Lawrence's second one.
Oh, that was Lawrence's first pick?
That's number five.
Oh, number five. Okay.
Reversal.
Yeah. And okay. I don't know if you guys did in order, so I'll name one of Chris's.
I don't think I did in
so
order.
So you guys matched one movie, which I'll get to here in a second. I don't have clips for all of these, but I got some good clips from some of them. Chris's first one on his list, and I don't know if this was in any particular order.
I didn't put mine in the order.
Blue Chips.
Yeah.
You had Blue Chips, man.
So great.
Mm-hmm. Great movie. I just remember Ricky Rowe.
Yeah.
They gave his dad a tractor. Oh. He got a brand new tractor.
Man, I just forgot, and I didn't include this one on my list because it reminds me of Blue Chips. You guys, He Got Game.
Oh, yeah.
Denzel Washington. Wow. Jesus Shuttleworth is Ray Allen.
Ray Allen.
Yeah, that should have probably been on my top five, too.
That's kind of in the same vein with, like, The Program.
Yeah.
You know, some.
I had The Program
ones.
On mine, and I took
did
it
too.
Off.
So
it,
did
it,
I.
It did not make the cut.
I agree. It was right up there.
All right, this next clip is my personal favorite line from this movie. Chris, we'll definitely get this one. We'll challenge you again here.
You know, you might think about taking Jesus Christ as your savior instead of fooling around with all this stuff.
Shit, Harris.
Jesus, I like him very much. He no help.
You trying to say Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball?
Okay, Harris, let's not start a holy war here.
All right, Harris, let's not start a holy war.
It's Major League.
That's one of my favorite lines of any movie of all time. Are you trying to tell me Jesus Christ couldn't hit a curveball? I love that guy.
Is that the one we lined up on?
No.
Okay.
No.
I still feel like Euchre in that movie. Like, he's the one who makes those movies.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Just a bit outside.
When
just a bit outside.
Heyward leads the league with most offensive categories, including nose hair. When this guy sneezes, he looks like a party favorite, right? Like, Euchre was so good.
That one is... classic movie, but not on Williams' list. Williams' second one, which I'm not going to play the clip from because it's annoying, is Jerry Maguire. Show me the money. That's
good
the clip I had lined up. But
is that Bob Sugarman?
Do you guys agree? Because a lot of people, I think, would call that an overrated, but I loved it. I mean, I went by, like, what movies have I watched the most over and over again? And I've seen Jerry Maguire probably at least 10 times.
Yeah. I mean, that's like a TBS replay. You just stop and
that's,
watch it.
Cameron Crowe? Did that, I think. Directed that movie.
I don't know who directed it.
I was Cuba excited Gooding for that Jr. movie because at one point in my life, I thought I'd want to be a sports agent. Yeah, so yeah. I was excited for that
Kush.
One. Getting a Kush. I got Kush laugh. All right.
I remember seeing that movie in the theater, and it's one of the first scenes where Tom Cruise is having sex with his girlfriend, and it's incredibly graphic.
Uh-huh.
I was pretty young at that point.
She's Don't Ever Stop.
Yeah.
Effing me.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I was like, whoa.
What was happening? I rewind.
And I think at that point, I was still too young to even really know exactly what was going on in that scene.
but I knew it was graphic.
See, people remember that movie for two things. Show Me the Money and The Human Head Weighs 8 pounds, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. That little kid was phenomenal.
Do you know bees can smell fear?
Yeah. Yeah. Little kid's great.
I don't know if I said that. Did I say your number two, Lawrence? The Natural?
No, The Natural. Good.
Great movie. Great baseball movie. No clip for that one.
I don't think I've ever seen The Natural.
The Natural is a fantastic movie.
I don't think I've ever seen that movie.
It really is a tremendous movie.
Yeah.
Roy Hobbs. It's really
And there's a lot more to the movie than baseball.
What year did that come out?
1984.
Yep.
Okay, so that's why I haven't seen it.
So really Lawrence went over the top, The Natural, Major League. Here's his number two on the list.
This is where we overlap.
This movie is known for incredibly bad live action of the sport it depicts. But let me know if you know this.
I know where you're going.
Let me know if you know this one.
In jail, you dig your own grave.
Ethan, on me.
Okay, Pete, don't you drift in the strong side.
Folks, they're calling a holding penalty on me every time.
Did I ask for your excuse? You want to act like a star? You better give me a star effort. Do you hear me?
Forget about him. Alan, you're it. Come on.
All right. Now, I don't want them to gain another yard.
You blitz all night. And if they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm going to take every last one of you out. You make sure they remember forever the night they played the Titans.
Anybody else have goosebumps right now?
So good.
That wasn't on my list.
No, it's not.
But that's a really good movie.
I thought that might make your list.
Some of the football action is kind of crappy in that movie, though.
No, that's a phenomenal movie.
I mean, you got Ryan Gosling out there flying around,
great,
all right?
Yep.
He's not a football player. He was in the Mouseketeers Club or something, you know?
But you've got the blend of, like, the social clashes, you know, cultural clashing.
Yeah,
and
great acting, too.
Oh, I mean, fun, you know, Sunshine, the quarterback, the Rev.
Great movie.
Gospel music included.
That was on my, like, first cut.
It's good
as well. That was right there.
I think who makes that movie is Bill Yost, right?
That's the guy.
Did you guys ever see Radio?
Yeah. Cuba Gooding Jr.
Really good movie too, because that came out right after Titans. I think they're both like Disney productions,
right.
I believe.
So that was not the movie that overlapped. The one left on Lawrence's list is the one that we will do. This is also known as one of the best football speeches of all time in a movie, and it's Chris's next pick on his list.
Hell yeah.
On this team, we fight for that itch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that itch. We claw with our fingernails for that itch. Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's going to make the fucking difference between between living and dying.
All right, any given Sunday, of course.
Pacino, man.
Do you remember the name of the? Oh, look who's here, man. Oh, geez.
Hey, it's Adam Gray.
Look at this guy.
Version 1.0 just walked through the door.
I'd give him a headset, but we got to finish our movies first.
No longer part of the fuck.
Any given Sunday. Do you guys remember the team name? What's
yeah?
Name?
It was the.
Black.
The Sharks.
They're
Miami
don't,
Sharks.
Don't be racist.
Aren't they the Miami
the
Sharks?
Uniform color.
They are the Sharks. Yeah.
Or are they based out of Miami?
I believe so. I believe that's correct.
Because Cameron Diaz is like the owner.
Yes.
And then it becomes the classic, like, do you go forward with Cap Rooney? Is your quarterback like he's this aging white guy? Or you've got steaming Willie Beeman?
Dennis Quaid.
Quaid.
Yeah.
How many good movies has Dennis Quaid been
A ton.
In?
The Rookie? Yeah, The Rookie was a good
That's so
good movie.
Really, really good.
All right, here's one that Adam Gray will appreciate as he just stepped in the door. This is also on William's list. A famous golf movie.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah, I'm beginning to come around.
Yeah, everyone seems to be coming around.
Well, I'm not, Doug. This man is destroying golf.
It's interesting he went with Shooter McGavin for that clip.
How are you supposed to chip without going? You've got to kick him off the tour.
Two fat naked bikers having sex. Shooter McGavin, one of his best roles of all time.
We played the on the show the other day. There's a guy who dives for golf balls in Florida.
Yeah.
And he recently did, and an alligator bit him.
No.
And so this will piss Mark off, being the staunch conservative that he is.
Oh, absolutely.
So this guy punched the alligator in the face after it bit his leg.
Yeah.
And, like, a bunch of the, like, animal activist groups are mad that he punched the alligator.
Oh, man.
It's like, but we played the Chubbs. Damned alligator bit my hand off.
Well, yeah, if you get in their pond.
I tore one of them bastards' eyes out.
If you get in their pond, you deserve it. All right, here's the one that you guys both have on your list. It's the only one that matched out of your top five. Here we go.
Yes.
My number one movie.
Me too.
Rubbing is racing.
That
boys.
Is
cool trickle.
I have a tie for my two favorite like all-time movies, and it's that and Top Gun. Mm-hmm. Both Tom Cruise, same era.
Couldn't agree more. Could not agree more.
The Days of Thunder is now. You said, Mark, that you think that Remember the Titans?
Yeah.
Like categorizes like the actual sport badly.
Yeah.
Days of Thunder, like the stuff they're doing out there is just impossible. I guess back in 1990, the sport was a lot different. But
anything
like,
was possible.
The scene like where they get the rental cars and they just beat the hell out of each other on the way to the meeting with NASCAR.
Talks about leaving them as a grease spot on the stand somewhere. You know, like.
I have seen that movie more than any movie.
That movie
life.
Came out in a time when I was an impressionable youth, because out of all the scenes that stick out, it's when they get pulled over by the fake police.
Of course.
Well, and that's another thing that's stupid about that movie. Like the driver and the crew, like they're all riding around in the rig. They don't do that.
Yeah.
They have
How
jets.
Unsafe is that? Right?
They're just hammered in the back without seatbelts on.
Like with the race car.
Yeah. It's just rolling.
See, the best about that is we had a Hardee's in Mitchell, right?
Russ
Wheeler. We got to go there. We got to get all of the Happy Meals had the cars, all different pay colors. So you had this Super Flow, the pink and white one. You had the mellow yellow one.
That's what he ends Hardee's. Up winning with, I think.
I know we have some guys in the dirt racing community who listen to our podcast because I get a lot of notes from them because they know I like. If you guys want to sell a lot of T-shirts, you change your paint colors to like the old Days of Thunder ones.
Oh man.
People will automatically root for you.
That's so good.
Like if you do the 51, the Rowdy Burns.
Yeah.
Kyle Busch did that for a few years in his truck, and it was like, everybody, it made me like Kyle Busch.
All right. You guys had good movies, and none of them matched mine. We just went through 10 movies.
You didn't match any
of
those?
He's going to do like Chariots of Fire.
No, here's what I noticed between your picks and my picks.
Secretariat.
I'm much more sentimental. When it comes to sports movies, I'm much more sentimental.
Is Secretariat even a movie?
Secretariat's good. Yeah, it's good.
Okay, I've seen – I like the horse racing movies in general.
All right. Can you name this movie?
This is your time.
Surprise.
Their time is done. It's over. I'm sick and tired of hearing about what a great hockey team the Soviets have.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There was your big hint.
Miracle.
This is your time.
Oh, my God. How did the Mighty Ducks not make any of these?
You know, number six for me. It was right there.
D2 or the original?
The original.
The original, yeah.
Yep.
When Emilio was porking Charlie's mom.
Oh, yeah. And Charlie's, like, telling him about all the great things about his mom, you know.
And then Adam Banks, the traitor, he had to leave the Hawks.
And then he says, kick some Hawk butt at the end, right?
Hey, and that almost got them out of the G rating that they had. All right.
What about the insult calling somebody a cake eater?
Cake eater. Jesse guy. Yeah.
Cake eater.
Cake eater.
I'm going to end with two of them.
Goldberg's just farting all the time. All right, sorry.
Goldberg almost wasn't able to play hockey because he had his bar mitzvah, right? Like,
have you ever called anybody a cake eater? That's a great insult.
No, but I'm going to start now.
Nick Meyer, cake eater.
All right, here's two of the most.
Hawk fans on Twitter, you cake eater.
Two of the most sentimental lines in sports movie history, and I like them both. All right, here's number one.
And David put his hand in the bag and took out a stone and slung it. It struck the Philistine on the head, and he fell to the ground.
That wasn't the sentimental part.
Amen.
It's coming.
I've never seen this movie. I know.
Couple moments of quiet here, but it's coming. Here you go.
This isn't good radio, Mark.
I know. Here we go. Great line.
I love you guys.
Do you know that movie?
No.
Didn't mean to play the Star Spangled Banner.
What was
idea.
It? What was that movie?
Hoosiers.
Oh. Yeah, I've seen it.
Have you guys seen not seen that?
No, I've seen Hoosier. Hickory High.
Hoosier's a little bit lost in me. I don't love it as much
That's
as everybody
Gene
else
Hackman,
does.
Yeah. Dude.
I know. It's everybody's like number
with,
one on
I'm
their
with
list,
you, Lawrence. I
like
the movie, but it's not it wouldn't even be in my top 10. Mm.
All right, here's the last one. If you don't like the scene,
I'd put D2 over Hoosiers.
Adam Gray's about to have a corneo
when they beat when the Mighty Ducks get chosen to be Team USA. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, come on. You got everything in there.
Here's the last one. If you don't like this movie,
Charlie's mom.
If you hate this movie, you're not an Iowan, and two, you're a communist.
Thank you.
Hey, Dad. You want to have a catch?
That crap gets me every time I watch
this.
Is this
the Sandlot?
Shut up, dude. Have you guys been to the field, by the way?
Is this Freddy Got Fingered?
Field of Dreams.
Now I have to look that up. Field of Dreams, of course. Have you guys been there?
I haven't.
Tom
always. So I think actually Ashley and I, before football season, we're going to go on a trip to Decorah, and I'm going to go fishing, and I think we're going to stop by there.
Dyersville, right?
Yeah,
is that
Dyersville.
Because the corn will still be high. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to go there after harvest.
Well, it's not the same thing.
Yeah, it's not the same thing. You want to go when the corn is sky high.
Isn't that owned by like a corporation?
Yeah,
or
someone bought it out.
Of course.
Yeah. All right. So the last two on my list were Rudy and Caddyshack. But skipping ahead to maybe the best movie of all time.
Rudy's
here you go.
Great.
Johnny, our boy is a genius. He's rigged a pulley system so he can eat sausage and work on his
If you'll excuse me, I still have some work to do.
Daddy, would you like some sausage? Daddy, would you like some sausages? Daddy, would you like some sausage? Sausages? Sausages?
If you guys haven't seen this movie, you need to treat yourselves.
God.
Wow.
What you need to do is you need to get a bottle of vodka and drink it while you watch that movie.
Gray, if you actually want to be on this, you got to come grab a headset.
No, I'm good.
Oh, he does. He's too big.
Farm Bureau is not an advertiser.
he big time.
Now
this,
he's
apparently.
In. Now he's in. Look at that.
Hey, why don't you recruit some people here? I'm willing to give you a little bit of
the
my airtime to recruit people to the new place you work at.
Oh,
no.
You can't hear anything. Chris turned me off.
No, you're up. You're good.
I just can't hear anything.
There you go. You're good.
Your headset's just.
Hey, welcome back, man.
It's good to be back, guys.
You forgot your roots already. You forgot how to use a headset.
I thought I did it.
You're
all
sitting
right.
In your big wig cubicle.
I'm not in a cubicle.
Do you have big
suit
shot?
Jacket,
yeah,
fancy
look at this
watch.
Guy.
Dude, he's not in a cubicle. I go home yesterday to see the kids. You know, it's not even 5 o'clock yet. I go out on my back deck and there's Greg golfing on the course right behind me with his brother. He's not working hard. He's just out there golfing. So.
And I believe someone yelled in my backswing.
I yelled shank.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I did.
I didn't appreciate that.
Hey,
weren't we supposed
to be golfing?
It looked like
you
pulled
today?
It.
Weren't we having a little bit?
No, that's coming up. Yeah, that's coming up. Gray and I have a bet coming up as soon as he is willing to actually make some time to go do it.
Busy man.
Gray,
job.
Gray thinks that he can easily beat me at golf, and ironically, I've played golf with Gray. He's okay.
Four-man best ball.
He's okay. He's not John Olson.
No, who is?
You know? So we're going to go TCI and let her rip.
I'll play with just my putter. Actually, 7-iron, like 10 cup, and get the job done.
I'm on a win streak right now. The last two tournaments I've played in, I've walked away with a championship.
Wow.
One of which on my team. We got a tournament next week.
We have a tournament next week. The Gridiron Club one. We're playing with Team Heartland Finishes, proud sponsor of Cyclone Fanatic.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna make it a hat trick.
Nice.
Is that out at Albaugh's course?
Yeah.
That one?
Yep.
Can we still sign up for that or is it booked up?
I'm assuming it's booked up, but you can try. I don't know.
You could play when we play, which is at 7:30 in the morning.
Are you?
Are there still spots open? Or?
I'm sure it's 7:30. It will be one of the only ones.
Maybe I'll
get it. Because Kim Pullen, who invited us, he gets up at like 3 a.m. every day.
What day is that?
It's like John Liebel.
That's why he's successful.
Yeah. What day is that on?
Thursday.
All right. Yeah, we've got to see if John Olson's available.
Lawrence is awesome, man. It was really cool to hang out with you. And
I enjoy this.
Yeah,
we were all over the game today. We had like real conversations.
Yeah,
have you not listened to the podcast before?
Man, I'm a loyal listener, but
I feel like it was a quality podcast today.
I agree. This was fun.
So if you're looking for a career change, go talk to Adam Gray.
Man,
is that right? Am I doing it right?
Absolutely.
Reach out to me. We'll talk.
If you want to sell insurance under Adam Gray,
if you're tired of working for someone else and you want to work for yourself, you give me a call. We'll talk.
Well, Do they have to wear blazers like you've got on?
Nope.
Okay. I like wearing t-shirts.
If it's so great, then why did you sell your insurance agency when you had it?
That's a good point. There.
I'm just asking.
That's a good point. Oh, the truth comes out, man.
That was rude. I shouldn't have done that. You set it up with the shameless promotion.
I didn't say anything. I said nothing. I wasn't even going to talk. I just come in.
He just came
guys.
In to judge our movie choices.
I knew Lawrence was coming in today, so I said I want to swing in and see Lawrence.
Man. Oh, so you're not even here for us?
No. Hey,
but
no.
Here's why you should stick around for the next 3 minutes, though. Mark's going to give you guys tips on real estate. It's riveting. Check it out.
It's probably excellent.
I actually enjoy that.
These are actually really good. Yeah, I'm not all joking aside, these are really important.
You do a good job.
There we go.
Hey guys, Mark here. Today I want to talk about pricing a house. It is the critical piece of selling a house. All the marketing in the world won't sell an overpriced house. You see it a lot. If you follow celebrity real estate, which I probably don't expect you to follow, but you do hear about homes selling. The Playboy Mansion actually comes to mind. We've talked about that on the podcast before. You know, the one that Adam Gray wouldn't go to, which was BS. He absolutely would. But anyway, the Playboy Mansion sold recently. And actually, really interesting deal. Hugh Hefner gets to continue to live in it until he dies, and then the guy will actually take over the house. I believe he was the next door neighbor. But the Playboy Mansion was on the market for $200 million. It actually sold for $100 million. So the guy got a 50% discount. It's funny because people look at that agent and think, oh, what a great agent. He sold the Playboy Mansion. I look at it and think that agent allowed Hugh Hefner to overprice his house by $100 million. And that, you know, price, again, is number one. I have no shortage of examples of times when I've listed a house. I usually give a suggested number. Sometimes the client says, well, I want to try a little bit more. And as long as it's fairly close to the number I gave them, I'm willing to let them try that for a short period of time, maybe a couple weeks or so at the higher number, just in hopes that someone comes along and offers that. Usually that doesn't happen, but occasionally it does. But I've had instances where one jumps to mind in Ankeny where we had shown the same house maybe 30 to 40 times. It was listed maybe in the 160s, 170s. This was a couple years back. And it got shown again and again and again and again and again and no offers. And showings are great because that's the possibility the house is going to sell. But obviously you want an offer. The client asked me what we should do. And I said, we're priced too high. We're close because all these people are coming to look. So they're not turned off so much by the price that they're not coming to look. But there's a disconnect where they're not offering. So we need to drop the price. So we dropped the price $5,000. I think two or three more days went by and we actually got a couple offers and ended up selling it for full price at the new price. Now, what changed in that scenario? Did we change the marketing? Did we change the photos? Did we change the location of the house? No, none of those things. The only thing that changed was price. And a lot of people don't want to believe that price is that important, but it is, guys. It's the most important thing. And another way to look at that is the house I live in is, it's a nice house. It's, you know, $800,000, something like that. And if I tried to sell it now for around that number, I might not sell it. I might wait 6 months, 9 months, something like that to sell it. I don't know. But what would happen if I priced it at $600,000 tomorrow? It would sell tomorrow. And again, what changed? Price. If you get a price low enough where people are interested, it causes the market to react. And a lot of times sellers think if you get a quick offer on something that they underpriced it. I don't look at it that way at all. I really don't. I look at it like you priced it right. What is a right price? The right price is a price that causes people to have a reaction, to come see it, and to make an offer. When that happens, you priced it right. Don't think because your house sells on a day that you underpriced it. I hate it when people think that. If you had the agent run an analysis for you, run comps and talk to you about that, then the chances are that they did price it right. And a house that's priced right, again, will sell. And usually will sell fairly quickly in a seller's market. A house that's overpriced, even by a little, will sit and sit and sit. And then you do a drop, and that's called chasing the market. You're always doing drops to try to catch up to where you should have been originally. It's much better to maybe even in your own mind underprice a house by $5,000 that allows it to sell immediately versus pricing at $5,000 higher, eating up 60 days of market time. Then the house becomes stale. Then you do the price drop. People aren't interested anymore because they've seen it too long. Then you have to do another price drop, and you're far worse off than simply pricing it better at the start. So when it comes to house price, it's everything. Listen to your agent. Side with caution on that as far as going too high. It can ultimately cost you a lot of money in the end. And again, marketing, very, very important. Price is much more important. All right, guys, that's it. Remember, we can refer you anywhere in the country. If you want to buy or sell a house, just call us. Get a hold of us. CharterhouseIowa.com is our website. Mark@CharterhouseIowa.com is my email address. You can also reach us on Twitter. Fawcast is the Twitter handle there. And we're happy to refer you to a great agent in your area, whether you're buying or selling. That agent will give us a referral fee, which in turn lets us continue to pay Cyclone Fanatic and give you things like the Fawcast. All right, guys, we'll see you next week.